a study about the names of God. They have been the covenantal names of God. Names that God revealed to remind us of what has been promised to you and me, because we are in a covenant relationship with Him. Names that you and I can use, that we can apply, that will indeed, when done by faith, break the chains of bondage that the enemy attempts to put up on us. We've declared names like Jehovah Shammah, declaring that the Lord is there. He is with us, the reminder that He is never, or that we are never, alone. Talked about Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. We've declared that it is in Jesus Christ that we are righteous. It is not a righteousness of our own, but it is a righteousness that comes by faith. And because He is our righteousness, you and I need to never worry about whether or not we will be able to satisfy or to please God, because He has become our righteousness. We've talked about the fact that if you are sick in your body, that He is your healer. He is your Jehovah Rapha. He is the God, the Lord God, the Jehovah Lord, who heals you and me. We praise God for doctors. We praise God for nurses. We praise God for those whom He has gifted and given an understanding of the human body. But how many of you know that they treat? Amen. It is God that brings about healing. It is God that brings about deliverance. And we thank Him that He uses them, but He is the one who actually does the healing. We've talked about the fact that it is Jehovah Nissi who is our banner, who leads us into victory. That it doesn't matter what battle confronts you. What you can be assured of is this, that you fight from a position of victory, because He says you've already won. You've already won. And so even though you may be pressed, you may be pushed up against a rock, don't worry. You win. You win. You may not know how you're going to pull this thing off, but if you put your hope and your trust in Him, He got something in store for you. Amen. He'll send some support to come your way, because He leads us constantly in triumphant victory through the person of Jesus Christ. Then we talked about this, Jehovah Shalom. He is the Lord, our peace, which means that you and I do not need to live in fear. We do not need to live in anxiety, because God is our peace. Jesus is our peace. He is the Prince of Peace. The Bible says in Isaiah 26:3, they who keep their minds stayed upon God will be what? In perfect peace. And when you apply the name of Jesus Christ to whatever it is that is making you anxious, what you can be assured of is that He will bring you peace. The Apostle Paul said this, don't be anxious about anything, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, don't leave that out, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And then he says, in the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. He is our peace. And then last week we talked about Jehovah Jireh, the Lord being our provider. Just simply drawing upon the fact that He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Amen. Simply drawing upon the fact that He is our source, and He can use whatever He wishes to resource us. Amen. That He will provide for us no matter how it seems that the thing that we're needing is bigger than we are. You remember that He sits high and He looks low. It is these covenantal names that we have talked about with the hope of you and I applying these names in our various situations and realizing that in Him we have all that we need. And today, as we attempt to close out our session on the covenantal names of God, we want to talk about Jehovah Rohi, the Lord who is my shepherd. Amen. He is the Lord who is my shepherd. I know that immediately your mind went to Psalm 23. Amen. Amen. And that's a good place to go. Why don't we go there together? Psalm 23. That psalm that was written by King David, who himself was a shepherd, who understood what it meant to care for sheep and what it meant to be a provider and a protector. That when he penned this psalm, captured for you and for me the essence of God, our shepherd and king, who watches over us and sees us from point A to point B and watches over us and provides for us all that we need. Psalm 23, reading from the NIV, says, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul, and he guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff. They comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He is my Jehovah Rohi, the Lord who is my shepherd." We've talked about these names in the context of them being covenant names, which means that in order for you to apply and receive the benefits of these names, you must be in covenant relationship with God. There's only one way to be in covenant relationship with God, and that is through the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus declared, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. That no one comes to the Father except through me." It is in Jesus that you and I experience the new covenant made possible by his blood. In the Old Testament, that word testament means covenant. Under the Old Covenant, it was a covenant that God established with his people. But then he said to them that you must show the sign of the covenant, which was circumcision in their physical body. And then you must abide by all of these rules and all of these laws that I have given to you, and you will be in covenant relationship with me. I'll watch over you. I'll take care of you. I'll protect you. When you do these things, you can trust that I will provide. In the New Testament, the New Covenant, we have what is called the covenant of grace, which means that it is no longer dependent upon what you do to maintain the covenant. It is more about what Jesus did to establish the covenant. It was by his blood that he paid for your sins and my sins. By his blood that he satisfied God's wrath, such that when Jesus presented before God his blood, God said it is sufficient to care for, to pay for the sins of all of mankind, which means for you and for me. The work that Christ did satisfied God so that our sin debt is paid in full. You never need to worry about that debt coming back. Again, he says that it has been paid for, but it represents a new covenant, the covenant that was established in the blood of Jesus Christ, and it is called the covenant of grace. And Paul reminds us that Christ's grace, God's grace, is sufficient for you and for me to cover all of our needs. In this covenant relationship, this covenant comes with benefits. Amen. It comes with benefits. And when you and I are in a covenant relationship with God through the person of Jesus Christ, we can then take these covenant names that we have been talking about, and we can apply these covenant names to our situation. We can apply these covenant names to whatever it is that you and I are experiencing. And because the covenant is based upon who God is, because the covenant is based upon the finished work of Jesus Christ, you and I can rely upon God to carry out his part of the covenant. Amen. We can experience his benefits. And I believe it's only fitting that when we think about the Lord as our shepherd, that we understand that in this name, him being our shepherd, it encompasses and it covers all of these things that we have talked about that a shepherd will provide. God is the good shepherd who meets us and provides for you and me. He is Jehovah Rohi, the Lord our shepherd, who promises to constantly look out for our well-being if we place our lives in his capable hands. Amen. And when you put your hope and your trust in Jesus, what you're doing is you're placing your life in God's capable hands. You're saying that I trust you to take care of me. I trust you to provide for me. Not only will you make a place for me where you are, but while I am here, you will be with me. I think it is in Genesis chapter 28 where we get a very good picture of what it means for God to be a shepherd, and as he promises to look out for his people. In Genesis chapter 28, it tells a story about when Jacob, one of Isaac's sons, deceived him and tricked his twin brother Esau out of his birthright. When his brother Esau figured out what Jacob had done to him, Jacob was told by his mother that you need to leave because your brother Esau plans to do you harm. And so she said to Jacob, you go to my brother, to Laban, and see if you cannot find cover there. So Jacob, who is afraid and fearful for his life, follows his mother's instructions and gets his father's permission to leave home and go and live with his uncle Laban. It is when he is en route to Uncle Laban's house that Jacob lays down to rest and he has a dream. In this dream, Jacob sees a ladder and it is reaching up to heaven. And there were angels that were ascending and descending on the ladder. There above all of this activity stood the Lord. And listen to what he said in Genesis 28, verse 13. He says to Jacob, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I promised you. In that that revelation to Jacob, we get to see this picture of God as a shepherd king who promises to be with Jacob, to watch over him, who promises that he will fulfill the promise that has already been made to his grandfather Abraham, and who says that you are going to be have many descendants. He promises this to him. And here's what I really love about this revelation and about this promise of God. Remember what Jacob had just done? Jacob had just lied to his daddy because he pretended like he was his brother. He had went in and under false pretense tried to receive the promise that was intended for his brother. But yet in all of his trickery, in all of this deception, God's grace, God's mercy, God's choice still prevails. And he says to Jacob, I know what you did. Because remember, there's nothing that you can hide from the Lord. He says, I know that you did. I know what you did. But that doesn't change my choice, and that doesn't change my promise. I'm still going to be with you. I'm still going to watch over you. I'm still going to fulfill my promise to your grandfather, because my promise with your grandfather was a binding promise, because your grandfather proved to me that there was nothing more important than him honoring me. Because when I asked your grandfather to sacrifice his son, his only son, he did not withhold him, but he took him to the place where I told him to go. And boy, you just reaping the benefits of your granddaddy right now. And because I promise that I'm going to fulfill it, I'm going to be with you, and I'm going to watch over you, and I'm going to transform you and change you and make you into the man that's going to be able to fulfill the promise that I gave. Oh, that's what I like about God. He doesn't wait for you and me to get clean. Oh, you better hear this. Before he says that he will walk with us, because here's what he understands, that you and I, when we're left to our own devices, we do not have enough within us to clean ourselves up. And for anybody who is waiting to get clean before they come to the Lord, what I want you to know is you need to tell them, don't wait any longer, because you're waiting in vain. You come to him because he is the one who can clean you up, and he is the one who can present you before the Father. And he will take you just as you are. But here's the good news. He won't leave you the same. Amen. He'll take you just as you are. And then everything that he's put inside of you, he'll begin to work. And he'll begin to cause stuff to happen in your life that's going to squeeze what's on the inside. He's going to squeeze it out. Amen. He said, you ain't got to wait to clean yourself up. Just come to me. Just as you are. Though your sins be like scarlet, he says, I will wash you whiter than snow. He meets Jacob where he is. Jacob is in his sin. Jacob is trying to go to a place where he can find refuge. And God meets him and tells him, Jacob, I will be with you. I will be with you. It's hard for me to talk about that. I want to move on, but it's hard for me to talk about this without talking about Jacob's response. Because Jacob's response is a lot like our response sometimes. When God gives us a promise, when God says he wants to do something in our lives, we start trying to negotiate with God. And we start trying to say, well, God, if you do this, this is what I'll do. But God has already said what he's going to do. All he wants you to do is walk in obedience. All he wants you to do is trust him. All he wants you to do is allow him to work out in your situation what he desires to work out in your situation. And you and I sometimes get busy negotiating with God. And it's unnecessary. Because Jacob turns around after he wakes up and he says, surely I must be in the place where God is. God is in this place and I didn't even know it. I didn't even recognize it. And then he started to recount to God what God had already said to him. And he said that if you will do these things, I will be your God. Well, God has already said, I'm going to be your God because I've chosen you. And then Jacob adds, and oh, by the way, if you bless me, I'm going to give you 10% of everything that you, you know, everything. He He's negotiating. He's negotiating. I'm going to give you 10%. It was unnecessary because God has already spoken. And the only thing that was required of Jacob was his trust in and obedience. Ooh, I could just stop and we could camp there for a while, right? Trust and obedience. If we could, what is it? Proverbs 3 talks about trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do what? Lean not to what? Your own understanding. And what else? What else? In all your ways, what? Acknowledge him. And what will he do? He will direct your paths. What he said, just trust in him. Trust in obedience. Just trust in him. Acknowledge him, right? Which means that you're declaring that he is my God, that I belong to him. And he says that when you start to do these things, he says, don't worry. I'll direct your path. Don't worry. I'll show you the way. Don't worry. I'll go before you. Don't worry. I'll prepare the way for you. He says, all you got to do is trust and obey. Which brings us back to him being our shepherd. See, the only thing that is required of sheep is that they trust and obey the shepherd. Amen. That's all. The shepherd has the best interest of the sheep in mind. And he provides for them an environment that is conducive to their growth, that is conducive to their protection, that is conducive to their good health. Why? Because the shepherd's reputation is tied to the well-being of the sheep. How do folks know whether or not the shepherd is a good shepherd? Well, he can't just talk a good game. You've got to be able to look at his sheep. And if his sheep are fat, you know I like that. If his sheep are fat and they're full of wool, right? If they are healthy and they are not covered with disease, that then becomes the evidence that this shepherd is a good shepherd. Amen. So there is something tied to the shepherd making sure that his sheep are in good shape, is his reputation. And how many of you know that God goes through extreme measures to protect his reputation? Amen. Why? He says he's a faithful God. That means that he can't lie. That when he says he's going to do it, he's going to do it. Amen. And listen, even if he's got to wait a couple of generations, he's willing to wait a couple of generations to fulfill his promise because he cannot lie. He said to Abraham, I'm going to bring your children out of slavery. I'm going to deliver them to the promised land. And you know what? He came through. He did exactly what he said he was going to do. But there was a problem. His children became disobedient along the way. They failed to trust and obey. And when they failed to trust and obey, they did not get an opportunity to experience the promise of God. But God says, oh no, I'm still going to honor my word. I'll take you that won't trust and obey me, and I'll let you wander in the wilderness. I'll let you wander for 40 years until all of you disobedient, knucklehead rebels die. Stiff neck, amen, stiff neck until you die in the wilderness. And then I'll let the next generation go in to experience the promise, amen, that I have for them. And he said there was only two. You remember them? Joshua and Caleb. He said, because these boys know how to trust and obey. Yeah, yeah. And so because they know how to trust and obey, they're going to experience the benefits that are available to them from a good shepherd, the king shepherd, the one who is the overseer of their souls. And you know Joshua led the children into the promised land. And when Caleb got to that place where he had scoped out, 80 years old, still in good health, still in good strength, he said, look, if don't nobody else want to take this mountain, get out of my way. He said, let me have it. You showed it to me. You promised that I can get it. Now I'm here. Let's roll. And sure enough, Caleb takes the hill at 80 years old. Because what? God was with him because he trusted and obeyed. I'm liking that word this morning, ain't you? Trust and obey. Trust and obey. It gets you the benefits available to you from being in a covenant relationship with God. God says, I'll provide, but yes, there is a responsibility you have to trust and to obey, to trust that he is able to deliver and to obey his instructions, to obey his timing, to obey his methodology so that you can receive what has been preserved and reserved for you. Amen. Amen. There's some stuff God got for you and me that we can't see. But when we continue to walk with him, he begins, because you know what? He opens up a little bit at a time. When you take one step in obedience, he begins to open up for you the door and helps you to see. And what you begin to do, you begin to watch and see, and he opens up your vision, and then he builds up your hope. And when you can see it, yeah, that's what God is taking me to. Amen. 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 And so he says, just keep trusting him. Him and obeying him, not by your own timing, not by your own standards, not by your own measure. Trust him. Trust him. He says that he will provide for you and for me. Psalm 23. In this psalm, we get to see a picture of God's provision. We get to see a picture of God's rest. We get to see a picture of God's protection. We get to see a picture of God taking what he is using in this allegory as sheep representing his people. We get to see him take them from one place to the next. God did this for David. God did this for his people. And then God promises that there will be a shepherd for you and for me. In fact, in John chapter 10, verse number 11, Jesus declares himself as the good shepherd. In John chapter 10, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I am the shepherd, and my sheep know my voice. Then he says, and a stranger they will not follow. You know that ties right back in to trust and obey, right? Because you're obeying the voice of the good shepherd. You're not following the voice of the stranger. As one of his sheep, we hear his voice. He says, my sheep know my voice. My sheep know my voice. Now, it's important that you and I come to understand that the only way we really get to know the voice of God is by spending time with him. Amen? Amen. That's really the key. You get to spend time with God. How? You spend time with God in his word. Amen. Amen. You and I have availability to the word of God that we can access it 24/7. And when you and I open up his word, this word that has been inspired, this word that has been breathed out by his spirit, this word that teaches us, corrects us, it rebukes us, this word that gives us life, it's available to you and me. But most importantly, it helps us to understand and learn to hear God's voice. And so we read it so that we begin to know who he is, how he thinks, what he expects, and allow him to talk to you and to me. But now, reading his word is just one way. You do know that God gives us the gift of prayer, the ability to talk to him in an intimate setting that says that you learn to hear his voice even as you pray. That when you bring all of your worries, your concerns to him, and then you sit back and listen while he speaks to your heart, God will speak to you and you will recognize his voice. And when you are in that anxious place, he will speak peace over you. When you're in that place of where you're lost, he'll speak wisdom to you.
When you are in need of direction, he will guide your way. He will guide your path, all because you have learned to recognize his voice. He says his sheep know his voice because they spend time with him. They spend time with him in prayer. They spend time with him in his word. And here's the other way. They spend time fellowshipping together with one another. Amen. They spend time with one another as a flock, so that then they too began to experience his word, not just to them individually, but to them as a whole community. And God has a way of moving among communities in such a way that his name is glorified. And he helps you and me to be able to learn to recognize his voice. It is sometimes modeled or talked about in this way, discipleship. Amen. That you learn to follow the ways of Jesus. And then he said, go ye therefore and make disciples. The idea is that you are learning, you're teaching someone else what you've already learned. You cannot disciple anyone if you have not been discipled, or if you are not being a disciple. Now, you're discipling them in something, but you may not be discipling them in the ways of the Lord. What he has called you and me to do is to be able to take from what we have received and then pass it on from one generation to the next. Amen. That God will always be known. Nothing is worse than when you get a generation that does not know the God that you know, the true and living God, the one whom Jesus Christ represents. When you get a generation that doesn't know him, anything is subject to happen. Oh, just read through the book of Judges. You remember the book of Judges where it talks about Joshua died, and then it says, then all of that generation with Joshua died, and then it says the next generation did not know this God that they had served, and all of a sudden they start walking away from God. They start doing whatever was right in their own eyesight, in their own mind. They start walking by their own understanding, and as a result of that, the covenant relationship that they had with God, God had to discipline them, and he had to punish them, and he allowed their enemies to come in and to oppress them, all because they did not acknowledge that they belonged to God. They did not live like they belonged to God. They acted like they could do whatever they wanted to do, whatever they were big enough to do. And oh, brothers and sisters, doesn't that sound like some of the stuff that you and I are seeing right now? People think they can do whatever they want to do. Rewriting what God has declared and not embracing his values, and then wondering why they're not getting the blessings. No! In order for you to experience the covenant benefits that God offers, what is it you got to do? You got to trust and obey. And walk in that confidence that he knows what is best, and that you can follow what he has said. And if everybody else disagrees with it, they're the ones that's wrong, not God. Amen. He is saying to us, he's saying to them, that Jesus is our good shepherd, who provides for you and me life because we know his voice, and because we follow him, and because we won't follow a stranger. We'll trust the good shepherd, we'll follow the good shepherd, and then we'll also receive the benefit of the good shepherd. Jesus warns in John 10:10, he also warns that there's also a thief who comes to kill, steal, and destroy. The good shepherd has come that you and I might have life and have that life more abundantly, but then there is a thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He does not want the sheep of God. He does not want the pasture of God to have good life. He wants to come and destroy everything that God wants to do. But Jesus says, take heart, I will be your protector. That's why when you go back to Psalm 23, it gives you a picture of what a good shepherd provides. Not only will he take you to a place where you can rest, not only will he lead you beside still waters so you can drink until you are filled, not only will he prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies so that you can eat, he says, I'm going to protect you and keep you safe from the hand of the enemy. That even though you might go through some dangerous situations, he says, I will be with you. Don't be afraid. I am going to be with you and I will take care of you. You can rest in my presence. Then he makes this promise to you and me that he is going to walk with us, not just for the moment. Ooh, that's good. Yeah. Not just when you start into your relationship with you. He's not just going to invite you in and then say, now you can go ahead and go about and do your own thing. No. He's not going to leave you to fend for yourself. He says, no, I'm going to be with you and I am going to send you escorts wherever you go. In the NIV, it says, surely goodness and love will follow you all the days of your life. In the King James verses, it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. I like them both. Surely goodness. I like goodness. Don't you like goodness? Everything that comes from the Lord is good. Every good and perfect gift that you have comes from the Lord. What God specializes in good. In the beginning, when he started to say, let there be, he looked at it, he said, now that's good. Because he specializes in good. And so he says, goodness gonna follow you, which means that you don't have to worry about it because he says, it's my specialty. There is nothing that can get in the way of blocking my goodness coming to you. I know how to navigate every circumstance. I know how to go ahead of the enemy. I know how to outwit the enemy. I know how to do all of those things so that my goodness will make its way to you. And then he says, trust this. I'm going to also allow my love and my mercy to be with you. Now, the reason I like both of those is because normally we think about mercy in this way. When I done messed up and I done got myself into something I didn't have no business getting myself into, when I done followed the voice of the enemy and not the voice of the Lord and have gone the wrong direction, what do I need? I need his mercy. I need his mercy. I don't want to experience everything that my behavior is saying that I should experience, so I need his mercy. But mercy speaks to God also withholding his judgment from you and me. Amen? So he says that I'm not going to judge you or show my wrath toward you in the same way that I would show it toward your enemy. I'm not going to treat you like I treat your enemies. Why? Because you're in a covenant relationship with me. So that means that when you are disobedient, I might spank your bottom. Oh yeah, he gonna spank your bottom. Amen. Amen. He would be a terrible daddy if he didn't discipline you and me and bring us back to the place of where we are in alignment around the boundaries that he has established for our lives so that we can experience the blessing that he's made available. He says, I'm gonna spank your bottom. But you'll recover. Amen. Amen. You will recover and you will walk in the right direction. See, when he disciplines us, it is with purpose. Amen. To correct. Why? He says, because if you're going to experience the covenant or the benefits of the covenant, I need you walking in such a way that you are demonstrating and you trust me and that you obey me. I need you walking in allegiance to me. And so when you're going to the left, getting outside of the boundaries, you're getting outside of my benefits. He said, I don't want you over there. Come on back over here and get under the umbrella of protection. And if I've got to poke and prod and tap to get you back, because, you know, let's be honest, sometimes we get so stubborn and sometimes the enemy has us under such deception that we think it's better over here doing our own thing than to be over here under the umbrella walking in obedience to him. And so sometimes he got to tap until he gets our attention. Sometimes he's got to impact us in such ways that we stop looking down and start looking up. And then start moving back to where we belong so that we can then begin to receive what he wants to give to us, the benefits of the covenant. Amen? That's called his mercy. And then what I love about his love, the reason I like both of those words, because really mercy encompasses both his love and his grace and his mercy. Love describes God's attitude toward you and me. When we think about that word love and we start thinking about God, we always go to that agape kind of love that is unconditional. But Ephesians speaks of a kind of love. And Paul says that I want you to understand the depth of God's love for you. He says the kind of love that is so high that you can't get over it. He says his kind of love is so wide that you can't get around it. He says the kind of love that no matter how low you fall in the pit, that you can't get away from it. He says it's the kind of love that surrounds you, the kind of love that covers you, the kind of love that rescues you. It's the kind of love that never fails. And he says, surely my goodness, my mercy, and my love is going to follow you all the days of my life. God expressed this love in the person of Jesus Christ when it says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus. Come on, now finish helping me. So that whosoever believeth in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting life. Eternal life. If you want to have eternal life and not perish, because God wants you to have eternal life and not perish, he gave his one and only son for you and for me. Why? Because he wanted us to have not just goodness, he wanted us to have his best. And so he sent his best. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to live and to die for you and me so that we could experience the benefits of the covenant. What does the covenant say for you and me? The covenant says that, first of all, your sins have been forgiven. Amen. You don't need to waddle in your sin any longer. It's been forgiven. Amen. It's been forgiven. Receive that forgiveness through the person of Jesus Christ. That's what it means. Your sins have been forgiven. What does it mean? It means that there is a God who will be with you, who is with you wherever you are. There is no place that you can go to escape his presence because he is with you. He is Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is there. What does it mean? It means that you now have a cloak of righteousness. You have a cloak of righteousness. And it's not based upon what you've done. It's based upon what you believed and based upon who you are in. So it's not the judgment of others that matters. It's the judgment of God that matters. And he sees you through the blood of Jesus Christ and declares that you are his righteousness. It means that you and I, in our covenant relationship with God, have covenant benefits that say that he is a healer for you and for me. That when you and I are trusting and obeying him, that he offers to us his healing touch that restores us and makes us whole and healthy. You and I can walk in victory. I'm wanting to close our time together in just a time of prayer. Because one of the ways that you and I appropriate the benefits of the covenant is by coming before him and crying out to him, expressing to him what it is that we stand in the need of and standing ready to receive. Standing ready to receive. Understanding that here are the benefits. He really is a God who provides for us, and it is out of his abundant riches that we have all that we need. We're not just talking about physical or financial provisions, but remember, he is the one who gives us mental health. He is the one who gives us emotional stability. He is the one who builds us up in our inner being and helps us to understand who we are according to how he created us, because when we were yet in the womb, he knew us. It was his hands that formed us. He knows all about us. And he says that whatever you need, he will provide, because he can be trusted. If it is the peace of God that you need, he says, come and get it. Amen. Yes, sir. He says, come and get it. Whatever it is that you need. I think I have this song. Do we have it? That we're going to let play. It's a song that you are very familiar with. And in this time, all I want this song to do is minister to us, because we're going to approach by faith. Not going to be afraid to ask the shepherd for what we need. Amen? And we're going to allow the song to minister to us and stir up our faith. Go ahead, Brother David.
I'm sitting back there talking about love. That's been on my heart all week, all mine, for quite some time. But the Lord's talking about God is love.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about the benefits. The pastor's talking about the benefits of love. And love, L, is life.
Mm-hmm.
O is overwhelming, overflowing. V is victorious. And E is eternal. We walk in that love on a daily basis. It is our life. Jesus said, and the pastor spoke, he is the way, the truth, and the life. We walk in that life. Our life is overwhelming. It's overcoming. It's overflowing. It reaches out because of that love. And that love is the greatest benefit that we could ever receive. And we have already received it. We are walking in that eternal life now. Whatever we need, whatever we want, whatever we hope for, whatever the Lord wants us to do, we are willing to do it because of that love. Because that love flows through us. We don't hold on to it. If it's love and we keep it and hold it, it is not love. It dies. It has to flow. It's like a river. It is the river of living waters.
It is.
And I've got to say that. Woo.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Woo. The presence of the Lord is in that love.
Yeah,
you experience his love. That peace is so real. It's so deep. It's so strong. It is powerful. You cannot get away from it. Just yield to that spirit. Yield to that love. Accept it. Receive it. Walk in it. You will see benefit after benefit
after benefit.
After benefit.
After benefit.
You are actually walking
go ahead.
The presence of God, because God is that love that we walk in.
Amen.
I love him for it.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Amen. Amen. Amen.